Hello and good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In the early months of the pandemic, herd immunity was seen as the end goal and the way out of the pandemic. That is, if enough people were vaccinated and immune to the coronavirus, that it would limit the spread of COVID-19 and permit society to return to normal. But as the pandemic enters its second year, the thinking had begun to shift, and that even with vaccination efforts, new challenges mean the threshold to achieve herd immunity may no longer be possible. So tonight on the show, we're going to be discussing what this means for Malaysia's public health measures. Joining us on the show, we have Associate Professor Dr. Rafza Ahmad Zaki. She's a public health medicine specialist with University of Malaya. Good evening, Dr. Rafza. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. I'd like to begin our conversation by citing something that the Vaccine Coordinating Minister, Khairul Jamaluddin, has said. He says that he has stopped using the term herd immunity. And he also said that COVID-19 could end up becoming an endemic disease that will continue to be present in society, you know, like the flu or like dengue. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this, Dr. Rafza, given that, you know, for the past 15 months or so, policymakers have linked vaccination and herd immunity to the successful control of and maybe even the end of the pandemic. What are your thoughts?
Okay, thank you for having me tonight. So, okay, the first term I want to discuss here is herd immunity. Herd immunity means we achieve protection at the community level once we have enough people in the community immune to the disease or virus. So the best way to get immunity is through vaccination. And the proportion of people who need to be vaccinated to achieve herd immunity depends on the transmissibility of the virus. Now we are targeting at least 80% of the susceptible population to be vaccinated. This includes the population of all ages and not only the adult population. So, however, there are challenges for us to achieve herd immunity. First is the challenge with the vaccine supply and distribution. And the second is vaccine hesitancy. These two reasons might delay us in achieving the target to achieve herd immunity in our targeted time frame. The next is come with the challenge of a new variant that might reduce the effectiveness of the vaccine. This might make us difficult to achieve herd immunity at all. However, this doesn't mean that we should slow down our vaccination program. Vaccination needs to be continued because even we are unable to achieve herd immunity, the vaccine still offers some protection to the population. Especially it helps in slowing down the disease transmission and reducing the severity outcome of the illness. Then the next thing I want...
Sorry, Dr. Razavi, can I ask you, because, you know, before COVID came, Malaysia was grappling with a group of people who didn't want to take, say, the polio vaccine, and concerns about anti-vaxxers were around that vaccine. And the issue of herd immunity came up in that discussion as well, because the idea was that when enough people take the vaccine, they can together collectively confer immunity to the entire community. So it's not just those people who've taken the vaccine, but people who not taken the vaccine are also protected as a consequence. Is that not possible anymore, that those who are vaccinated might also confer protection just because they slow down the pace of transmissibility?
Okay, the issue of not achieving herd immunity is more towards the effectiveness of the vaccine. Okay, if the vaccine is effective for all the variants, we will achieve herd immunity in a matter of time. It depends on how long that we actually distribute the vaccine and how long that we will achieve the coverage of the 80% of the population that receive the vaccine. So the issue now comes because when our speed of the vaccination is not that fast enough, and then now we are actually racing against the new variant, so that is make the possibility that the herd immunity might not be able to achieve. Okay, but as I mentioned, even though earlier on we are talking about the herd immunity, you know, actually there are many examples of vaccine preventable disease in the past that we actually successfully controlled by using vaccination such as measles, mumps, and also polio. So, but we have to remember, vaccine is not only to prevent the infection, okay? Vaccination also be able to help to reduce the severity of the illness. For example, like when we see, for example, MMR vaccine. I heard many complaints from parents saying that their children receive MMR vaccine, but they do still get measles infection. But what they don't appreciate is the severity of the disease is much less compared to if we did not receive the vaccination. Similar to the COVID-19 vaccine. For example, among healthcare workers who has received the vaccine, some of them do get an infection because of multiple exposure in the hospital or even in the community. But most of them right. only suffer from category 1 and 2. Only a few have a very severe illness.
Okay. Dr. Rafsa, if I may ask you to explain, what do you think the coordinating minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, meant when he said that this disease, COVID-19, may end up becoming endemic in society, that we may have to live with this disease? What does that mean for policy making and public health measures?
Okay, the term endemic means that the disease is present at all time in our community, and the disease will occur at almost at a constant rate. But endemic can also still lead to an outbreak when we have an increase in the number of cases. So I think you already mentioned that one of the examples of disease that we have in our country is dengue. So if we want to compare dengue and COVID-19, the infectivity rate and mode of transmission are different. COVID-19 is spread from person to person. Thus, the speed of the disease spread is much faster than dengue. Then the mortality rate for COVID-19 is much higher than dengue. So if the transmission rate of a disease is not that rapid and the mortality rate is not that high, we might consider leaving the illness to maintain endemic. However, with the current situation of COVID-19, until we get most of the population vaccinated, then we can slow down the speed of the transmission and also reduce the mortality. So now our mortality rate is not that bad. However, please remember that our health services are stretching to the maximum level now. All ICU at full capacity and some hospital already over their maximum capacity. So if we did not slow down the rate of that transmission, health services will break down. So the situation might be going down if we did not take action now.
Dr. Rafsa, you know, I think in some of the public communications about the meaning of endemic was this associated sense that the disease would become less potent, that it would be less harmful, or it would be a weaker form. But that's not true, right, of many endemic diseases. Say, for instance, malaria is said to be endemic in parts of West Africa. It kills thousands of people. I mean, dengue kills thousands of people in this country as well. So what is it that we need to know about the meaning of endemic?
That's like I mentioned just now, endemic just means that the disease is present at all time in our community and the rate is almost constant. So depends on the infectivity rate or the mortality rate of the cases. If you want to sacrifice our population with a disease that is have a high mortality, if you want to keep a disease at endemic level without having any intervention, then we will the cost that we pay is the life of people dying with that disease. So what the intervention that we do usually, if the disease is not because when we talk about dengue, it's a vector-borne disease. When we talk about disease like COVID-19 or measles or this disease that is very highly infectious, so the transmission from person to person is very high, so we can't afford to leave the disease on its the nature cause of the illness. So we need to do some intervention. So when we talk about intervention, vaccination is the best ever intervention that we have in public health.
Okay. But it seems to me, Dr. Rafsa, that we have put all our eggs into this vaccination basket. A lot of our policies targeted to getting the vaccination rollout as soon as possible. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, vaccines are just one tool in our toolkit to manage the pandemic and effectively deal with COVID-19. Can I ask you what other interventions, perhaps non-pharmaceutical interventions, that we should be focusing on apart from just vaccines?
Okay, as I mentioned before, the best intervention that we have in public health is vaccination. Why? Because vaccination is actually boosts our immunity and protecting our body from getting the infection. It is the make our body prepared to what are the possible infection that will come to us. So if we don't want the vaccination, we don't want to stay in MCO forever. So the next best thing, we have to wait for a better treatment option, which is still not available. So why we want to wait for something is uncertain. So what we need to do now, we just need to push for vaccination. Even we said we are unable to achieve the herd immunity soon enough, or even we are unable to achieve the herd immunity at all, by having the vaccination, it still helped to reduce the transmission rate and still to reduce the burden of our healthcare system. Even we have a treatment available.
I'm sorry, can I ask you about the treatment? Because this is very interesting. In the recent public discussion that the vaccination coordinating minister had, he was asked about Malaysia's preparation for treatments. Apparently, Pfizer is developing a treatment. They expect it to be out by November or December this year. And it's, you know, and the person putting the question to him suggested that this would be a really powerful tool, even more powerful than vaccination, combined with rapid test kits or self-test kits in homes, that we could in fact beat the disease using a very powerful treatment. What are your thoughts on treatment? I know you say it's betting on something that hasn't come, but what are you hearing about the development of treatments?
Okay, whatever it is, the prevention of a disease is always the best medical practice. Okay, so vaccine protect you before you get the illness. Even we have treatment available, with the high infectivity rate, the number of cases will still be a burden to our healthcare system. So if we still see a cases, we will still see a mortality. Probably the mortality will be reduced. But the best is, as I mentioned, vaccine is better than having the treatment itself.
All right, Dr. Rafsa, thank you for your time. That was Dr. Rafsa Ahmad Zaki from University Malaya. Now, we're going to be discussing more on the issue of herd immunity and endemic diseases after this in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned to Consider This.